Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I give you praise, God. I thank you, Jesus, for your promises, God. I thank you, God, for the spirit of revelation, God, so that we can see ourselves today. We can see how to be free. We can see how to walk in willingness to the Spirit, in obedience to the Spirit, so that we can live in prosperity. We can live in the land of blessing. We will eat the good of the land for ourselves and for the kingdom of God. I thank you, Jesus. I want to give honor to my pastor for teaching us how to live a life that is laid down on the altar, that is fully surrendered, as being an example to us. And I want to give honor to Brother Robert for he's over the service today. And there's some real good examples that I just wanted from the service today of being willing, of not settling. And I want to give him honor this morning for not settling and getting up and saying we can press harder and bringing a breakthrough. Because that's not easy to do, to make get up and take a stand. It's easy to just say, well, you know, whatever, and we'll just move on with the service. That's real easy, and it's not easy to really make a stand. Which goes right into the message today, and that is, you know, pastors up at World Conference, and one of the things that they are at Partners Convention, and one of the things Brother Cirillo always says is, let's take the masks off, and he makes you all do this. So let's all do this. Let's take the masks off. And let's be honest about willingness, and that is that a lot of times we're not willing. When we're willing, it's sort of in fits and spurts, and when it suits us, and when it feels okay, and when it's not uncomfortable. And some things we're never willing about, and some things we are willing about. And I was remembering this morning about when I first wanted to like lift my hands in church. And I, you know, it was months of like, I should probably lift my hands, but I wasn't willing. And I remember Brother Robert tell a story about the first time he danced. And I'm betting that there was probably a long time you thought I would like to dance, but I'm not going to, for a long time before you first ever lifted up a little foot. And so willingness and wanting to are two different things. Sometimes we're willing, but we don't want to. And sometimes we want to, but we're not willing. We can be, and now, Brother Robert don't have a problem getting up and dancing. I don't have a problem lifting my hands and dancing. And so we're very willing about that, but there's still other things he's willing about everything, but that I struggle with being willing for. This message was birthed in an odd way because I was sick. And you know how when you're sick, you don't really have filters much. And I was talking to Michelle, and I did not feel very well. And so I said, you know what? And I told her about herself. And then I said, and you know what my problem is? I'm unwilling, I'm stubborn, and I'm rebellious. And then she went and told Pastor that I said that. But it's the truth, because when you don't have that filter and you just sort of, you know, you're in and out of like, and you're laid up in bed and just whatever is real is what comes out of you right then. And I said, I'm unwilling, I'm stubborn, and I'm rebellious. And I said, that is so ugly. That is so ugly to look at myself and see that. And it's real ugly when we look at, we're ugly. We're ugly people on the inside. And that's why it's so hard for us to want to look at ourselves. We like to look at everybody else. But it's so hard to look at myself and say I'm unwilling. And you know what's the worst thing about it is because I'm a Christian, because we're all Christians, we'll say we're unwilling about a lot of things, but not about God. If God was to speak to me, I'm always willing. But that's just not the truth. Or we would have every pew in this place full. We'd have folks, we'd be running through the emergency room at the hospital up there, and our shadow would be passing over, and people would be jumping up. If we were 100% willing to everything God said, we would live in a totally different realm than what we live in today. So we don't like to say that we're unwilling. So what we do is we manipulate. We say, here's an example. Brother Robert, y'all all watched him as he was up here and telling Sister Joellen, I don't know what all was said, but I'm imagining him like play faster or push or play louder or whatever he was saying. And he told Sister Brandy to come out and we're going to redo it. And so our praise team was willing to receive instruction. And so but they could have said, I'm doing all I know how to do, and I'm going to keep doing all I know how to do is this right here. And so I don't know. I don't know what he means to push it. Or they could have said, I'm doing what I feel to do. I got the Holy Ghost in me. I'm the one on the keyboard. I got the microphone. I'm doing exactly what I feel to do. So, I mean, there's different ways, but it's all the same spirit of I'm manipulating, because then I'm saying God told me something that the authority didn't know. Oh, and so I'm going to manipulate and say I know better. Or I'm manipulating in self-pity and saying I don't know. They always just come tell me to do the same thing. I don't know. I don't know how to push. I'm doing all I know how to do. And we do that. We do that in prayer. We've all done that, right? Doing all I know how to do. We're not doing all we know to do because somebody told us something to do half the time. And all we have to do is that. And if we were doing all we knew how to do, they probably wouldn't have told us to do anything to begin with, because we would have been doing exactly what we knew. We do what we were very comfortable doing. And so we manipulate and change, pervert even, I think is probably the appropriate word, what God's telling us to do into something that's more comfortable for us to do. And then we say that that's God. It's just like in the wilderness, Moses had gone up on the mountain. Do you know that Aaron wasn't trying to worship a different God? He said, I don't know about this mountain. I don't know about thunder and lightning. I don't know what happened to Moses. I don't know how to worship a God who doesn't have a name. He said, I am. And so I'm going to make a calf. And this is the God who brought us out of Egypt. It wasn't a different God. He wasn't trying to move into idolatry in his mind. He was just saying, I'm going to shift into something that feels more comfortable to me and everybody around me. Because it's very uncomfortable moving into this faith where there's a cloud and there's Moses is gone. He's 40 days. I don't know what happened to Moses. And I don't know this God's name to even call on him. Just I am. And so he did something that was much more comfortable. So, and what we do is then we feel like we've relieved our responsibility, because if I say I'm doing all I know how to do, or I'm doing everything that feels comfortable, and those other thoughts are kind of scary, and I don't know if that probably won't work out because I'm so nervous to do it, and so I'm just going to do what I'm comfortable doing, and then things will probably just work out. And so we think we're removing ourselves of responsibility. And we even deceive ourselves, right? Because a lot of times when we get into that place of I'm doing all I know to do, we really believe that. We really believe, and then it's woe is me, because people are asking me of things that I just can't give. But that's not true. So let's just take the mask off, where we manipulate to make it more comfortable for ourselves. So there's a few reasons why we do that. One is we just don't want to do it. We don't want to lay our lives down and pray. We don't want to take time out of our days, a lot of times, that are all wrapped up in ourselves and our home and in our family, because if we were doing it, things would be done. We don't want to give up ourselves to call and go see about somebody because I got things to do tonight. We don't want to give of ourselves to lay down at the altar and pray, because that's hard and it's uncomfortable to be up here for hours. It doesn't feed my flesh, doesn't feel good. And so maybe I can just listen to praise and worship music and have a good time with Jesus and feel blessed. And that's the same thing. But it's not the same thing as pulling down strongholds. It's not the same thing. So we just do what we want to do. We just don't want to go any further than where I'm willing to go. And if where I'm willing to go today is lines up with what God was asking for, then that's great. And if it doesn't, this is what I'm willing to do. That's all I want to do, these things. So let's be honest, if that's the truth, and say, I want to play slow. I want to do what you're asking me to do. I don't want to pull down strongholds, if that's the truth. Because God can deal with us when we're honest, but as long as we're saying, I'm willing to pull down strongholds, I want to pull down strongholds, I'm willing to lay my life down and pray, but we don't, then we're bringing judgment onto ourselves, but God can't deal with us there either. He just has to keep judging. Because whenever he could deal with Israel, they weren't in judgment, right? They just listened to him and obeyed. And when they quit listening to God, then he had to bring judgment until the point where they would come back to listening to him. So another reason is we're self-serving. And so let's be honest with that. I really only like to do things that feel good to me, personally. No one wakes up in the morning and says, I want to do things that don't feel good. But let's be honest. And that's in life. So it works in prayer. I want to do the things that I'm comfortable with, that feel good. And so if I get a chance to pray, maybe I don't want to pray about everybody else in the world and about souls. I want to pray about myself. I want to make it all about me today because I'm self-serving. If I get half a chance, I might just do that because I want people to lay hands on me. I want a little breakthrough for myself. I want somebody to tell me, prophesy over me and tell me my kids are going to be fine. I want somebody to prophesy over my money. I want to hear about how I'm going to be wealthy. I really like that one personally. But if we have to shift it and say, I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to come up here and I'm going to pray for my 3 hours that I signed up for. I'm never one time going to mention my own self. Never one time going to mention a need in myself. I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus. Or I'm going to pray for the souls. I'm going to pray for the pastor. I'm going to pray for the service. I'm going to pray for the cell groups. I'm going to pray that God prospers the kingdom of God in Crossroads, Arkansas. Then that becomes much more difficult because I get up at the end of it, and if I felt anything, it was because I got a breakthrough and I felt satisfied that what I was praying had broken through in the spirit. But because it wasn't about me, it's not, let's be honest, it really don't feel quite the same as when you get a breakthrough for yourself. Am I right? I'm right. I am right. So we're self-serving and not serving others. And the gospel doesn't work when it's inward. The gospel is the good news preached to the lost and the hurting, the sick, the blind, the poor, the addicted, people who can't get free for themselves. The gospel is outward, and so it doesn't work when it's inward. And so we can't ever break out of that because we're not really ever getting a breakthrough. God can never bless that in us if we're self-serving. Third thing is, it's uncomfortable. I've said that word a few times, but it's uncomfortable just to do. I think Brother Robert said something about it's hard to just do things this morning. So it was he said something to that effect. It's just uncomfortable just to get up and do sometimes because it's outside of my comfort zone. I'm real comfortable. I'll come into agreement with something else somebody else is doing. But it's real uncomfortable if we know to do and to get up and go do. It's uncomfortable to go track down someone who's on drugs and try to go find out what happened to them and minister to them. It's uncomfortable because it's out of our comfort zone. It's uncomfortable because we probably had other things to do tonight. It's uncomfortable sometimes to be willing to do because it's not satisfying my flesh. It's for somebody else. So we like to stay in the realm of praying for ourselves, and we like to stay in the realm of blessings for me when we come into church. Is we battle this in church a lot of are we going to really press through? Because a lot of times we feel just fine if we stay in that realm of blessing and we can cry and we can feel the presence of God. And that's really all I'm here to do is just feel something for me and go home. And we could have done that this morning because you could feel the presence of God early on when we first got here. And so we could have said, it's sometimes we're tired on Sunday and we just decide, I really hope today, let's take the extra mask off today and say, sometimes we come to church and we say, I just really hope today that we just get in and get out real fast. Because I want to come in, I want to feel the presence of God a little bit, and then I want to go maybe eat something and go home and take a nap. And so it's uncomfortable to press, especially when confrontation has to happen to press. And then you know, now really it's all laid out. We all know it's not working if someone confronted. And so now we're faced with, do we want to willingly say, I'm going to let it go like this, or do we have to press? So now we got to press. I mean, now we got to do whatever it takes to get the breakthrough. Do whatever it takes. So what does Jesus say? He said, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth, I have not called you servants, for the servant does not know what the master or what the Lord does, but I've called you friends, for all the things I have heard of my Father, have I made known unto you. So we want to stay in the realm of servanthood, because that's more comfortable. Because then if you're a servant, all you're responsible for doing is just what somebody tells you to do. Get up and go do this. Press it right now. Don't press right now. Go soft right now. You got to come over here and pray. Come down here and pray. Come up here at 12 o'clock on Thursdays and pray. Do the things that I'm telling you to do, and you'll be a very profitable servant, but you're not a friend. Because friend is intimate. Friend knows the plans of God. So we're not called to be servants. We're called to be the friends of God. And by being a friend of God, when Jesus shares with me things, I'm responsible for doing them. Pastor preached about responsibility last week, so I'm not going to go into it. It's on the internet. You can go to freedomministriescrossit.com, download every service we ever have, listen to them for free. We're responsible then when Jesus shares as a friend, because if I have a friend, my friend sees something that needs to be done, my friend's going to jump up and do it. If I have a business partner, let's talk about it like that. Difference in a business partner and employees. My business partner is in it with me. And if I'm working on something over here on the business, then he knows everything else is going on in the business, and so he's responsible. His money's in it too. Right? That's his livelihood. And so he's going to make sure. If you have an employee, though, all they really care about is doing exactly what they're told. I'm told to be here and worth cash register from 3 until 8. I'm going to be here and I'm worth cash registering from 3 until 8. And I'm going to go home and I'm not going to worry about your business after when I go home. But if I have a business partner, we both worry about the business. Is cash register person showing up today? I don't know. There's customers. Is all the things stocked on the shelf? Does it look nice? Is the trash all picked up? Is everything happening? Are the bills all getting paid? So we both worry together if we're business partners. And so that's what Jesus is saying is, I'm calling you to be a friend, so I'm going to share everything that the Father shares with me about everything to do with what's going on around you. And so then you can know, I need to go handle this. I need to get up and go do it instead of being waiting to be told. Does that make sense? So we're partners in the gospel, is what we're partners with. We're friends with God. We're not minimum wage employees in the kingdom of God. We are partners in the gospel with Jesus. He called us brothers and he called us friends. We have positions, we have destinies, we have jobs, we have places in the ministry, both in this church and in the CrossFit, the city as a whole. We have positions, we have destinies that we're called to in the body of Christ. The problem is when we act like servants. So no one wants an employee or a business partner who just sits around, waits to get told what to do. I have employees. I expect them to be doing all the things that they need to be doing without me having to tell them. And then if they have a problem, then they come to me and say, I expect them to show up. I expect them to handle everything. And no one wants an employee who just sits down like this and says, the phone's ringing, answer the phone, it's 4 o'clock, we're closing at 5, you need to sweep and mop. Okay, whatever you say. You know, when you're teaching your kids how to do clean the room, you have to go in there and say, is your room clean? Yes, my room is clean. Well, there's still stuff on the floor. Pick that up. Where does it go? Put it over there. I could have cleaned the room by the time I've told my kids where to put every single thing in the entire room. So, but we act like that in the kingdom of God. We act like very low class servants where I bring the breakthrough. I come with a breakthrough into the service. And if nobody else brought a breakthrough, I can have a breakthrough for the service. And if we all come with a breakthrough, then we don't have to wait for a pastor to have to come out and say, or Brother Robert or somebody to come out and say, do this. Oh, it's not here. Do this. Well, now I'm just going to take it. And now we're all going to do this. So we can't act like servants. So I'm going to get into authority around that here in just a minute. But first of all, I want to talk about the difference between being unwilling, because an employee who just sits around all the time is unwilling. Should probably fire them and get someone else. And not wanting it. So Jesus didn't want to die in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Matthew 26:36, he says, and he went a little further, he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. So Jesus said, I don't want to die. Oh, my Father in heaven, please let me not have to go through what I'm about to go through. But not what I will, but what you will. So we can not want to do things that are uncomfortable. You can not want to do it all day long as you're willing to do it when the time comes and you get up and do it anyway. I cannot want to get up on a Saturday morning and come pray. But I'm willing to get up on Saturday morning and come pray, so that the kingdom of God can be advanced and what God wants to do here can happen, and God can use me and God can use anybody else, and whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do will happen. So what Jesus said, I don't want to, and that's okay, as long as you do it anyway. So our problem, though, is that we're only willing, we pair them up. We're only willing to do what we want to do. And it doesn't work out, because think about it in the natural. I want junk food. I really love chocolate chip cookies. I can eat a whole bag of that blue Chips Ahoy. If you sit in front of me, I'll eat the entire bag in one evening. Done. But that's not good for me. But I want it. And so I have to be willing to say, even though I want it, I'm going to set it down. Or maybe I shouldn't buy it at all. I shouldn't have it in the house. I do still buy it. We can say, I don't want to get up and go run in the morning or go exercise, do things that don't feel good to my flesh. But I'm willing to, because I don't want to be unhealthy. I don't want to have heart problems and all the things that happen when you don't, all you do is sit around all day. And all I do is sit. My job is sit in a seat. So if I don't get up and move sometime, then I'm not in a good situation health-wise. So we have to be willing to sacrifice what our flesh desires for something better. And when you think about it, desire is really all that sin really is. Because alcoholism is a desire problem. Homosexuality, desire problem. We desire all kinds of things that aren't right. Varying degrees of wrongness. But our flesh desires all kinds of things. So, but what God calls us to do is to put to death desire, fleshly desire, and to do what he's called us to do. So we desire a lot of times to just not lay our life down. It's not have to pray and then not have to fight and not have to do all those things. But it doesn't matter. We put that to death. So we want to feel, a lot of times we want to just feel that blessing and get something for ourselves instead of laying down our lives. Or of showing the love of Jesus, or submitting our will, praying for others, and interceding for the city, and not asking anything for ourselves. So the gospel, as I said a minute ago, is outward. So Matthew 16, verse 24 and 25, if you want to turn there. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. There's another, true in the natural, true in the spirit. If I want to do only things that feed my flesh all the time, then I will get fat, and I will get unhealthy, and then I will die of a heart attack, or lung cancer, or whatever it is I'm desiring that I don't want to give up. So he says, if you want to save your life, you just want to do the things that you want to do, then you're going to lose it. And so, same thing in the natural. If I'm not willing to sort of sow into the future, right, and give up things, and lay my life down for having a better life, then my life is shortened. I don't have nice things, and I'm sick. So in the spirit world, though, if we don't lay down our life, we don't give up our life to Jesus, then we lose it. We think we're saving it. We think I'm doing what I want to do, but I'm not doing what I want to do. I mean, I am doing what I want to do, but I'm not doing anything good for myself. Because if I just lay my life down, then all those things I was desiring get given to me. He says, if you lose your life for my sake, you're going to find it. So you find all those things you're trying to get, you're fighting to get all the time. So if we're unwilling to do anything that doesn't feed our flesh or that puts us out or makes us uncomfortable, and because we don't want to admit it, we manipulate. And we try to change what God is doing to something else so that we're comfortable with it. And we get mad then when someone comes along and treats us like a servant, which is the way we're acting like a servant, a low-class, minimum-wage servant who only does just enough. And so instead of being a friend of Jesus and being responsible for carrying the anointing and bringing a breakthrough, we have to be told what to do. And then a lot of times we get mad. Like, I don't want to do it. Sort of buck up. Like, I done tried 3 different things. Why is it not working? I don't know. And then we try to put it back on pastor or on the praise leader or on somebody else because I'm trying. I don't know. I'm sick of it. If you've been in those positions, you felt that way, right? Well, I don't know what to do, but we do know what to do. It's manipulation. We're not willing to get up. And a lot of times, one night on a Wednesday night, if you were here, I was very unwilling, and by the time the moment had passed of I'm saying I don't know what to do, but I did kind of know what to do, but I just didn't want to get up and do it. Then I couldn't. Like, I had gone past that, and so that I didn't have anything in me anymore to get up and go, and so we didn't have a breakthrough that night. And so we can go past that until we really believe with everything in us that we don't know what to do, but we do know what to do. And so if we just obey God quickly, and be honest that we don't want to do it, but I'm going to go do it anyway, then we don't get into those situations. So we get mad. We say we want to leave the church, right? I'm getting pushed and pushed and pushed, and I can't. And it's something I'm not willing to do. And so then we're like, well, we don't just say I'm going to quit because I don't like what they're saying. Then we manipulate excuses of, well, they're not right about this and about that because I think is right. And so I'm going to find me a different church. I'm not leaving God, but we do because God put us here. And so here's the thing to remember, and here's the big point with that. But authority, you have to understand authority to understand that that it's not about you. It's not about a person putting pressure on you. And it's not about a person that you may or may not disagree with. It's about the authority that God set up in this church, the line of authority. So Brother Robert's over the service today. And I started to say people have to respond to him when he says something like they would pastor, but that's not even true. You have to respond to him as if the Holy Spirit said it, because it is the Holy Spirit. He's under the covering of the Holy Spirit because he's over the service. So God speaks to him. God doesn't speak to you if you're not in authority. He does speak to you sometimes in a general way, because if we're friends of God, we could understand and and know what's going on in the Spirit. But God speaks to the person in authority. And I began to understand this you know, because I worked, I didn't lead prayer a lot, but when I did lead prayer, or when I came to prayer, I'll say that when I came to prayer, I would hook up with what was going on, and you know, I would know, I would sort of feel, well, we're off, we probably need to change something, or I've got something to say, and I need to raise my voice, or I could feel when a breakthrough was coming, I could feel when to get loud, and when to sort of go back soft again, and so, but when I led prayer, it wasn't that sort of vague, I understand what's going on. I knew exactly what to do every minute. If I heard a person's voice, I would say, bam, that person's given the microphone. Or we're praying about one thing, and all of a sudden I would feel a shift. Nobody else was changing what they were praying. I would feel a shift. We need to pray about this now. We need to target this now. Because I was the authority over the prayer, and so God spoke to me. And so when someone is in authority, they hear things directly from the Holy Spirit that you don't have that because God's not speaking to you. Because he's speaking to the person in authority because they're the one who's responsible for making things be done. Then that person is responsible for bringing the anointing to you and to everyone else. Not saying that you can't know what to do. If you have a part to play, God speaks to you and tells you one thing to do. But it's the person who, when it's under their authority, Brother Robert knew, okay, well, now we need to change the song. Brother Brandon needs to come back out and do that again. And so Brother Robert understood, because he had the authority, what time to do everything. And then he said, okay, right now we need to take up the communion. So that's on him. We don't have Eloise didn't have to know right now, so I've got to run up and do the communion right now, because Elder Robert was over the timing of the service. So the Holy Spirit spoke to him. So we have to understand, it's not a person, it's the Holy Spirit. And so when we buck up against someone telling us something, we're fighting against the Holy Spirit. If we say, I want to do this in church instead of this, or I don't like my cell group, I want to go to a different one, or I don't want to go to cell groups, I want church on Wednesday night, whatever, we're fighting against the Holy Spirit. So when you feel a demand, when you feel pressure, or you feel uncomfortable, feel like something's not feeding your flesh, it's not a person, it's not from pastor, it's not from a leader, it's the Holy Ghost. So when we fight it, if we manipulate, right, it's not a person. We feel like we can manipulate a person and say, I'm doing everything I can do. No, the Holy Spirit sees through that. You cannot lie to the Holy Ghost. Ananias and Sapphira tried it, and they died. In the church house. God help us. We cannot manipulate or lie to the Holy Ghost, because he knows. So the best thing to do is just be honest and say, I don't want to. I'm scared. Sometimes that can be manipulation, though, too, because you're not really scared. You just don't want to. So only say you're scared if you're really scared. So we're rebelling against God. That unwilling spirit makes us stubborn. It makes us rebellious. It makes us murmurers and complainers, and it makes us reject God. So we bring judgment. So if we think, well, I'm just unwilling, and so I'm not going to go all the way with God today, and that's it. But that's not it. Because we reject God, we bring judgment upon ourselves. It's not that we just not we're getting the blessing. We're bringing judgment into our home and into our lives. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 2. Now, this story is one that if you have unsaved friends who really have lots of reasons for being unsaved, it's a story that almost everyone in the world knows. They don't know how Jesus died, but they know that bears came and ate little children. You've heard that story? in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23. I'm going to scoot back up a little bit, actually. I'm going to go to verse 19. And the men of the city said unto Elijah, so Elijah just been taken up in the whirlwind, just a few verses before, just been taken up. Elijah had come back, he had split the water, he had come out there, and then all of the men around said, we need to have a search party for Elijah. And Elisha said, reluctantly agreed, and said, but then he felt embarrassed and made them all come back. So now we're at verse 19. And same city, he's still there. The men of the city said unto Elijah, behold, I pray thee, the situation of the city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is naught, and the ground is barren. And so their land was barren, their water was bad. So in the Amplified, it says, the men of the city said to Elijah, behold, an inhabiting of the city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad, and the locality causes miscarriages and barrenness. So they weren't prospering. They were not multiplying. It caused barrenness in their land. So their land was barren. And they asked Elisha to heal it. And he said, bring me a new cruse. And they put salt in it. And they brought it to him, and he went forth unto the spring of the waters and cast a salt in and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters, that there shall not be from here any more death or barrenness. The King James, when you see those little quotes, I mean the little parentheses, it adds in the word land, but the word is barrenness. So the land wasn't just barren. There was also all of their crops in there. All the women were barren in the city. So Elisha healed it. Now, the next verse. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha. And so he went up from there unto Bethel. He's on his way to Bethel. And as he was going forth by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked at them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tore them all up. So let's understand what's happening here. Because the world uses this and perverts it and says, how can you say God is loving? Look, they're little kids. And he sent bears out to go kill them all. So here's what actually happened. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified Version because it gives you a little bit more. The Hebrew word for little children here is na'ar. Na'ar means young men. And it's used in every other context throughout the Bible as young men or inexperienced men. It's used, David called Solomon na'ar when Solomon was old enough to have his own children. He was a father. And David was about to die, and he was concerned that Solomon may not have the wisdom of an old king, to govern Israel appropriately. And so he called him Na'ar. Joseph, when he was in Egypt, was called Na'ar. Daniel and the Hebrew children, which we call them Hebrew children, but they were all men. That's the reason that it says the word children there. It's because it's Na'ar. But they were all men. They're all old men. I mean, adults. So these were adults. They were just young. And let's look to and see in verse 24, it says how many of them there were. 42 were killed. Probably some escaped, right? They ran away. So, I mean, there could have been, there was at least 42, but there could have been 100 or more men who were coming after Elijah after he had gone and prophesied over their city. They had received a blessing. And then here's what they said to him. Here's the Amplified. In verse 23, he says, and he went up on his way from Jericho to Bethel. On the way, young, maturing, and accountable men came out of the city and mocked him and said to him, go up in a whirlwind, you bald head. Go up, you bald head. So what they were saying was, we just got rid of Elijah in the whirlwind. I want you to go up in the whirlwind too, because I don't want to hear what you have to say. I don't want to hear the word of God. And so they had a mob, right? 100 men coming after you, 42 even, coming after you, threatening you, saying, we want to get you out of here. We just got rid of Elijah. We didn't want to hear what he had to say. And now I don't want to hear what you have to say either. That's a threat. They were going to kill him, most likely, because they were going to get him out one way or the other. They said, you're gone, Elisha. You got to get out. Never come back here. But look what happened. They just had received healing in their land. And then they said, I don't want to hear the word of God anymore. We're done with you. We invite you in, come heal our land. Now we're done. Out. And we're going to kill you if you can't get out, or if you won't get out. And so when he turned around and proclaimed judgment, he wasn't proclaiming judgment on little children who were making fun of a bald-headed man walking by. He was proclaiming judgment on men who were rejecting the word of God, the prophet of God, and were out to destroy him. Potentially to kill him. There was a mob there. And so bears came out and killed them all, or 42 of them at least. So they didn't want to hear the voice of God. And that's the reason why they said the whirlwind comment is because they just got rid of Elijah. He was physically threatened. So they wanted blessing and healing, right? They wanted the good stuff. But they didn't want to lay down their life to the word of God. They didn't want to hear the hard things of where they have to change, where sin is in their life. They didn't want to have to lay down their life and go out of their way and hear anything that made them feel uncomfortable, because what did the prophet do everywhere he went? He told them all about sin. And he said, if you don't straighten up, God's going to bring judgment. And so he told them about sin. And so they didn't want to hear it. And they said, we're done with you. So when you understand that that's authority, That's the reason they were judged so harshly, is because it wasn't Elisha, a bald-headed man. It was the prophet of God that was being rejected. And so when we manipulate, if we try to do anything besides exactly what we're being told by God or by our authority, when we try to say, no, I'm doing all I can do, or I don't know how to do that, or I'm scared, or whatever, we're manipulating or try to change what God is doing, then we're doing the same thing as those men who came up against Elijah. They said, we want the blessing, we want to hear it, we want to have the presence of God here, we want all the wonderful things that's going to happen, but don't mess with me. I don't want to hear the words coming out of your mouth, and so I want you to get out now. Thank you for the healing. And so, so Jesus called us to be his friends so that we can know his plans. But we have to get out of that servant mindset that we just reluctantly do what we ask, right? When you're a reluctant employee somewhere and you're just sick of it and you don't want to work there anymore, we've all probably been there at some point, then you just do it just enough. Like, I'm going to act real busy when the boss is there, and then the rest of the time I'm going to kick back unless somebody's telling me to do something. I'm just going to do just enough. So we have to get out of that reluctant servant mentality and understand that we are friends of God. We don't even have a right to have an attitude about what's being demanded from us. Romans chapter 13, verse 1, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive unto themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works. Right? Our pastor is not a terror to a terror to good works is like I'm going around after my kids with a switch and I'm gonna make you do right. So they're not rulers are not that. They're not a terror to good works. They're a terror to evil works. So if you try to work evil, then that's why. If you're afraid of being exposed to the authority, then it's because there's evil works in you. Because no one's afraid of their good works being exposed. They're afraid of their evil works being exposed, their evil mindsets or attitudes or bad attitudes, you know, I don't want to's. They're afraid of those things being exposed. Or maybe I just did just enough to get by, and I know I didn't do right, and so I avoid her. I've done that. Well, big mask off. So for a ruler's not a terror for good works, but for evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good. And then what happens from the powers that be? Then you'll receive praise of the powers, of the authorities, of the rulers over us. We receive praise if we just do the things we know to do. And so how do we do the things that we know to do? We recognize the reasons we're not doing them. It's not because of all the manipulative things we've thrown up. It's not because I'm afraid, really, because I'm afraid of a lot of things that I do anyway, right? I'm afraid of spiders, but I still go out there and try to kill them whenever I see them. it's not because we're afraid. It's not because I'm doing all I know to do. I don't know. Pastor had a message on that if you say you don't know what to do, then it was manipulation. It's just a couple months ago, I think. It's on the website. You can look it up. Look up the word manipulation. If you type in manipulation into the search box, then you get all of the messages on manipulation. It's not that. It's not any of those things that we throw up. It's not because I know more. Certainly not that. It's because I don't want to. I'm not comfortable. It doesn't feed my flesh. That's what the people, and with Elisha, they wanted their flesh fed, but they didn't want nothing else. It's because I don't want to. It doesn't feel good to me. And so now that if we can admit that and understand the real reason why we're not doing the things, then we can address it and say, I'm unwilling, God. I'm unwilling. It's not about what we want to, but it's not about what we want to do. It's about rebellion. And so it makes us open for judgment. It removes us from the blessings of God. We don't get to hold back. It's not in our realm of rights or authority to hold back. We don't get to decide what we're willing or unwilling to do. So if my boss tells me, I want you to go clean up this area of the office, I don't get to decide if I'm willing or unwilling. I can have a job or I can not have a job. I can get a paycheck or I can be broke. Those are my two choices. If my boss tells me to do it, because he's the authority over there. Same thing with God. We don't get to decide whether I want to do this, I don't want to do that. We can decide whether I want to be cursed or blessed. We can, because it's pretty plain. It says, if you resist the ordinance of God, it's not about people, the ordinance of God, then you receive to yourself damnation. So we can choose to be cursed or blessed. And but we don't get to decide what we're willing or not willing to do. And so when we make those decisions, that makes it a little easier for me to say, okay, well, it's not about what I feel. It's not about whether I'm uncomfortable doing it. It's not about whether I'm scared. It's not about whether I want to or don't want to or have other things going on. Or I'm busy. Or I didn't pray enough this week. None of those things matter. What matters is that I do. We're either all in or we're guilty of unwillingness. So, God, we just come before you today in the name of Jesus. We're asking you to expose unwillingness in us, God. Expose that sin of rebellion, God. Some of us, though, have been in manipulation so long that we really believe the things we manipulated with, God. And so I'm asking the Spirit of Revelation to come and expose the areas where we've deceived ourselves, God. Where we have deceived our own minds into thinking we really can't do it. We really don't know what to do or we don't know how to do. But we all know exactly what to do. God tells us what to do. Expose manipulation in us, God. Expose rebellion in us. Expose the sin of rebellion and unwillingness of rejecting the authority of God.